Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for letting the rain finally stop and giving us a nice day. It's been raining a long time. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days when we see all these strange things occurring, everything from the weather to the earthquakes to the strange laws. And thank you for blessing our faith and keeping us strong on the path. We also thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and the blessing of the latter rain, so that we can go forth and do what your people are prophesied to do in these last days. And so while we do it, Father, we pray for that hedge of angels around us and around those we share with. And please bless everyone on the prayer list, especially those that are lost, and all that were mentioned last night in the gathering. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks today, so that you and you alone are being glorified. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King and Commander in this holy war, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Okay, the fans are going good. All right. Sabbath blessings again, everybody. See, we got a lot of new people here. We want to welcome Amato, Augustus, Emily, Larry, Matthew, and Walter. And anybody else? Sabbath blessings. All right. And if you're new, just scroll underneath the chat room. You're going to see the Bible study notes for questions that we're going through right now. And it's question number 10 that we're on. And question number 10 asks, what should guide our eating habits? And the answer is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, which says, thank you, Brother Garin, whether ye, therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So that being said, does it glorify God to eat those things he stated in his written word would be deadly to the body? I know a lot of people think of those of us that adhere to, you know, Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14. They think we're a little fanatical and all this other stuff. But truth is truth. I mean, we haven't changed. We don't have glorified bodies. We're still, you know, human, and he's still God, and he hasn't changed. And so things like pork or shellfish or clams or oysters or shrimp, lobster, catfish, and worms, just to name a few. And yes, a lot of people eat worms, and some of them don't even realize they're eating it. If you've ever bought Oscar Mayer hot dogs, look at the ingredients. It's got chicken, it's got pork, it's got beef, and it's got earthobate. I looked that up one time. Many, many years ago, and this was even after I quit eating meat, I found out that the earth bait was actually earthworms. And it helps them to, put in some filler. So, but if you want an entire list of clean and unclean animals, see the unclean foods link on the website. It's also called the Manna Manual. I used to have a website called themannamanual.org. But I yanked it because it was there was somebody out there that actually had a Manna Manual. It's in the chat room right now. I put the the thing in there. But oh yeah, Randy, I haven't had meat, and I quit eating meat before I started keeping Sabbath, and I think that's one of the reasons I understood the truth about the Sabbath, because I stopped eating I was a meat eater, and not just your everyday run on the mill meat eater. I mean. Yeah, just like most guys, especially in the Chicago area, with my upbringing in a Catholic household, you know, you had eggs and bacon in the morning, and then when I got home from work, it would be a steak and potatoes. Yeah, I ate a lot of meat. And, I quit that decades ago. And a lot of people seem to think, and I've heard some of the strangest excuses from some people, that say that you gotta eat meat to get the protein. Really? Well, the simple reality to that fact is there's a lot more protein in vegetation than there is in meat. I mean, peanuts, for example, you're going to get or beans, you know, legumes. You got a lot of protein. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole list of all the things, all the vegetation that has, and fruits and vegetables that have protein in them, but their main reasoning to say that you got to have that protein is because how are you going to get bulked up? How, like, especially if you're a child, if you have children and they're just vegan, how are they ever going to grow? They're not going to be able to get their full height. They're not going to be able to get their full weight. I says, well, actually, they're going to get bigger and healthier. It's pretty clear in the book of Daniel when you look in there. But here's something that a lot of people miss. I says, have you ever seen the meal of a rhino or an elephant or a giraffe? Or have you ever done some research in regards to what a brontosaurus eats, the largest animal that ever roamed this planet? Thunder lizards, they call them, because when they walked, it was like thunder. They ate vegetation. They were herbivores. They did not eat meat. And by the way, some of your eyebrows are going to shoot up right now when I tell you this, but Tyrannosaurus Rex didn't eat meat either. But all the evolutionists and all the movies and, you know, like that Jurassic Park, and they show him eating humans and eating meat all over the place. But two factors that prove he couldn't possibly have eaten meat. Number one, the roots of the Tyrannosaurus Rex to his teeth are only 2 inches deep. And you could just verify that easily by going to any museum that has a fossil makeup, if you will, of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Look at his teeth. They're only 2 inches deep into the jawbone, which means if he bit into the back of some animal, he'd lose teeth. Secondly, there have been many creationist scientists that have gotten a hold of Tyrannosaurus Rex teeth, and they have sawed them in half and found them to be gorged all the way to the core, to the root of the tooth, with what is that green stuff that you get in leaves? Chlorophyll. And some people say, well, they got that chlorophyll in their teeth from eating all those animals that were herbivores, you know, tree eaters and, you know, grass eaters. Really? Have you ever had your teeth checked to see if that's true? Because you eat cows, and all the cow does is eat grass. And look at how big he is, by the way, too. Or the horse. And cut your tooth in half, you don't see any chlorophyll in there. So how is it that Tyrannosaurus Rex's teeth is gorged with chlorophyll? Yeah, not chloroform, chlorophyll. So, but yeah, the chlorophyll is the green stuff that is beneficial to whoever eats it, you know. Now, yes, still, I'm sure that some new to the faith may say, but that's Old Testament. Wasn't that done away with at the cross? No, it has not. Colossians chapter 2 is very clear as to what was nailed to the cross. It had to do with the ordinances of the feast days. That was a nail to the cross. And by the way, have you ever noticed, and as a matter of fact, I used this in, I can't remember. I think I used it in an email the other day, where someone was trying to say the Old Testament was done away with. And I quoted a few verses that Peter said or Paul said, or even Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or, of course, Jesus our Lord, when they would echo him in the Gospels. And all the apostles, Jesus himself, and Paul, who was considered an apostle because he saw Christ, all of them quoted from the Old Testament to write the New. So if it wasn't old in their day, why is it old in ours? Well, it's the terminology. It just means the covenant that was done away with, and then the covenant that we have now. It's New Covenant, Old Covenant. But let me ask you this. When the New Testament times were upon us, did mankind all of a sudden become a new type of human that could eat things that the Old Testament said a man couldn't eat? No. He stayed the same old human that he always was. I mean, he's gotten a little shorter, of course, because after the flood of Noah, the atmosphere was only dense by one atmosphere. And, of course, there was a lack of oxygen in the atmosphere. This is why we get winded when we run. But before the flood, you could run for years. You'd never lose your breath. You can hold your breath underwater for over an hour. And, yes, this has been verified and confirmed. And so I'm not talking out of my hat. We've done studies on this. I've got a website page about this, too, as well. It's in the remnantofgod.org. It's in the creation section where they've proven that mankind had the same organs and everything else that he has today, same skin, everything's the same, teeth, eyes, all of it. The only difference was the average man today is, what, 5'10"? Well, in Noah's day, the average size of a man was 16 foot. And they found bones to back this up as well as other things that the government has hidden because it makes the Bible look true. Isn't that something? That's why you see barbed wire around, you know, and fences, 10-foot fences, and barbed wire wrapped around the real site of Mount Sinai. Not the one that those so-called Bible maps say it's at in the back of your Bibles. Those are all lies. And Noah's Ark, too. You got guys like Ron Wyatt, who's already been proven a false teacher, going out there telling people that Noah's Ark was someplace completely different when we've got videos and photographs inside Noah's Ark and on it and whatever. My very first track was about Noah's Ark on the mountains of Ararat. It's right up there. It's been there for thousands of years. You know, it's nice and cold up there, so it's pretty well preserved. And so, but again, you try to get up there, today's world, the Muslims ramping that mountain, they'll shoot you. So, but my favorite, two favorite documentations that I used in that track about Noah's Ark was Air Force One and a German reconnaissance pilot, Greg Schwimmenhammer or something like that. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was long with a lot of letters. He flew over with reconnaissance photos and took pictures of Noah's Ark because, the Germans flew over our nation. They were actually in this is Ararat, of course, but I don't know why I just brought up our nation. But, yeah, they were messing around in Alaska, too. The Germans were here. They were there were some U-boats in the Gulf of Mexico, too. And so, but they didn't let the people know because the people would have panicked, of course. My favorite one out of those two is when Jimmy Carter went to Iran because of the Iran-Contra crisis and all that stuff when they had some of our people there in hostage for 50-some-odd days. Everybody in Air Force One was told to look out the windows on one side of the plane because they had a warm winter and a hot summer, and the ice had melted back, and you could see Noah's Ark sticking out of the side of the mountain. So everybody in the airplane in Air Force One were told to look out the mountains. Or look out the window as the pilot tipped the plane and they all saw Noah's Ark with their own eyes. So, man stayed the same kind of human he was even as he was back in Noah's day, only now he's a lot shorter. And the fact that disease is running rampant today proves this. And what I mean is, God created mankind to have a specific diet of nuts, fruits, and grains as we saw in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't until the flood of Noah that God allowed meat eating, and he only did this temporarily, as we know. But because man liked the taste of meat, most continued eating it even after the earth was replenished with the natural diet that he should have been going back to. This is another major reason mankind cannot live hundreds of years anymore. As a matter of fact, my son Luke reminded me of something about a week or two ago. He came across a video. And I put a video on the website years ago, and I shared it with everybody here and everybody in the family. And I don't know why it always seems to be women, but I saw this one woman. I'm going to look for this video again just for the sake of doing it and putting it on. It might even be on the Man Emanuel page for all I know, because I usually stick that stuff on the site permanent. But there's over 11,000 pages on the site, so it's kind of hard to keep track of all of it. That's why I built a search engine in it. So, but anyway, this woman's in her 80s, and she looks to be in her 30s. And I had another one where a woman was in her 70s who looked to be in her 30s or 40s. And it was because they only ate raw, just like the Garden of Eden. But there's other reasons as well. You know, like I said a minute ago, the density of the atmosphere was changing. And so this is why mankind ages quicker now. You'll notice the wrinkles. Like, for example, and it took a few generations for mankind to slowly but surely start really degrading down to a shorter stature as well as a shorter lifespan, because we all know what went down with Sarah. Remember when she walked, when Abraham was going to be going through some area and he told everybody that she was his sister so that they wouldn't kill him for her because it was actually his wife. She was 99 years old and beautiful. Look at people that are 99 years old now. It's all they can do to stand up. So, the atmosphere, because it's not as dense as it used to be, the oxygen molecules in the bloodstream are shaped like basketballs instead of footballs, because the pressure would squeeze them down to the shape of a football, which would allow them to get into the skinny little capillaries that you find in your skin and other areas of the organs. And because, and when you're younger, you got a lot more pliable areas. And so, yeah, it takes, you know, a few decades before you start seeing some wrinkles, before the skin, like the capillaries and the small veins and stuff like that start getting harder or shrinking because of diet too, of course. And so, they didn't probably get wrinkles until they were in their late 800s and stuff, you know, or you know, 850s. Now you'll start seeing crow's feet and stuff like that. I haven't gotten them yet, which is weird, but you'll see them in with most people in their 30s and 40s. Because the oxygen just can't get to those areas of the skin, and so those capillaries die off, and they can't nourish that area of the skin, and so it gets a little bit less pliable, and it starts dying, and it shrinks back to go to the healthier areas that have bigger veins that are still alive, and so then that's where a wrinkle will come in. It's all scientific, and I'm not going to get into crazy details on it, but Dr. Carball goes into excellent detail on this. You know, that's why I like his videos, even though he has some funny ideas about the Godhead and stuff. And so, anyway, the fact remains. Science has already proven today that the vegans live far longer than meat eaters do, and the main reason being is that meat eaters usually succumb to a plethora of diseases, and everything from heart disease to diabetes. There's all sorts of reasons the diet will kill you. And it's not just eating meat that kills them either. I mean, reason being is some do prefer to eat just clean foods as listed in the Word of God, but they fail to remove the blood from the meat before eating it. You know, they don't seem to realize that that blood has a lot to do with, I mean, it's not only detrimental to your health, because whatever kind of problems that the animal has, you're going to have now, you're consuming its blood. It also defiles the body. So again, I ask, how is it possible to glorify God when eating bloody meat that is clean or unclean, when in both cases you're defiling the body God gave you, and in so doing are worthy of death? For it is written in Revelation something rather interesting. When speaking of the eternal city of heaven, John says the following in Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 to 27. He says this. Let me scroll up a little bit. He says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day." Yes, because all our enemies are dead. You don't have to close the gates. But the Lord goes on here through the prophet John. It says, "For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So if you defile the body, why would you let you in there? If you lie. See, that's one of the reasons, you know, when I became a Christian, that's my pet peeve right after I found Jesus was liars. I've always had a problem with them. And because they're using the native tongue of Satan. That's his, he's the father of lies. And so when they lie and see, and when Christians lie and see no problem with that, that's very invasive. That's like being burglarized. You know, you trust these people and then they lie to you, which is one of the reasons we're having a meeting after church today. It's also written in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy the Holy Ghost, which is in you. That's another verse I should use that says that the Holy Ghost is, they say it's he's just a breath or a thought of God. Well, if that's the case, then why is he in you as a separate being? Anyway, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, little s, by the way, which are God's. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:17, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Scary, huh? So put down the beer, put down the cigarettes, put down the bloody meat, the unclean foods, put it all down. Otherwise, God shall destroy you. I mean, you can't mock the Lord. You can't take, I'm your favorite, Lord. You wouldn't do that to me. I mean, that's today's theology, by the way. You know, God is so loving. He doesn't put anybody in hell, ever. So we got a lot of Bible verses to rip out now. I mean, the word hell itself, grave, of course, is what it means, or Gehenna, or hellfire. All these verses, or even, you know, the end, the death of Satan. I mean, if nobody goes to hell, then neither does Satan. I mean, if there's no hell, there's no hell. Can't get around it. So, anyway, next question here is kind of like an echo of the first one, and it is, what was the original diet of man? And I kind of touched on this a little bit, but let's go into a little bit more detail here. Because the health message is, in fact, the right arm of the gospel. And so, and it makes it easier to understand scripture, too, by the way. And I noticed this firsthand with my own self. When I stopped eating meat, I think, I don't know how long, a year, 2 years, who knows, I eventually had a clarity of mind to where when I went into the scriptures, and I had already gotten away from thy brethren like Abram did and eventually became Abraham. And no, I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm just comparing the obedient factor. When you obey, you're going to get blessed just like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or any of them in the scriptures. I mean, if you obey, you're going to get blessed. No two ways about it. So Genesis 1:29 says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And there's another one of those Bible verses that show that meat, the word meat, is interchangeable. It doesn't always mean flesh. You can have the meat of a grape, the meat of an apple, or whatever. It's just like with the word wine. Wine means grape juice, and wine means fermented grape juice. There's no reason to switch it up. But strong drink, you can also go that way too, because it does mention that too. But anyway, seeing how he is the creator of our bodies, as well as the fruit-bearing trees, or the herbs of the field, and a multitude of other edible plants, one would have to realize that he did this for mankind. In fact, right after creating man, it says in Genesis 1, verses 28 and 9, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the tree, is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat, like we just read a minute ago. And a lot of people say, oh, well, that's Old Testament theology. Really? Have you ever walked into a forest? What happens? When you, for example, we got like a little bird thing going on here by our house, and I put bird seed out for the bird, and I just put a seed sock out there yesterday, and we had 7 finches on it this morning. Just chewing away, going to town on it, right? Getting all them seeds. And all the seeds that I poured on the stump last night, they're gone. Them birds done. They just took them. Well, what happens when I walk out there? We still have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds, the fowls of the air, and all the animals. So if we still have dominion, like when I walk out there to put more seeds out, there ain't a bird to be found. Well, there's a couple of cute finches way up high in the tree that like to say hello to me. And I think that's so neat. I whistle back to them and stuff. But all the rest of the birds, they're out of there like they're on fire. And they got to get, because a human just walked into the area. So we still have dominion, which means he hasn't changed. And let me ask you this. If, and I've mentioned this before, but I love to use this analogy because it makes sense to me. I even use it in one of my videos. So if you knew of a mechanic that created a brand new engine for cars that was much more efficient, and you bought that engine from that man, would not that man be the creator of that engine? Well, yeah, right. Yeah, of course he would. And being its creator, if after he tells you that this engine can run on gasoline, would you then buy it, take it home, and place cow's milk in the fuel tank? Of course not. The creator of the engine said it needed gasoline, and so in the gas tank you'd put gasoline. That all being said, why is it when a Christian reads the Bible of their own creator, because you're the engine now, and the creator made you, and then after reading Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14, they choose to place fuel in their bodies that the creator of their bodies says would be harmful. Why are they doing it? Just putting the wrong fuel in an engine would eventually cause the engine to fail and die. Would not the same thing happen to the soft machine God made for us? And when I say soft machine, I am, of course, talking about our bodies. Like an engine made of iron that, unless it has fuel, will stop running, we too need fuel to keep our bodies running. But if we put things in our bodies that will cause the body to break down, is it any wonder disease is running rampant today? Genesis 5:5 says, "And all the days that Adam lived were 935 years, and he died." Adam lived a long time, almost 1,000 years. Strangely enough, however, many false preachers and downright hateful atheists like to use this passage, as well as the of Noah's age or Methuselah, or who was the longest living man ever. He lived 969 years. It says that in Genesis 5:27. They like to, you know, twist it out of context. I mean, the scoffers today like to use these Bible facts to declare the Bible's false. What they fail to realize is science has advanced in our generation to the point that we have been able to prove, using the methods for creation laid out in Genesis, that creating a world in the future put forth by God in that book would make for a perfect world. You can actually build a miniature world-like environment in a hyperbaric chamber. They actually did that with a Bengal tiger once. And them guys are usually, I don't know, 4 foot at the shoulder. This guy came out at 9 foot. And all they did was just give him a better atmosphere. They still fed him meat. So, we would have a perfect world. Not only a paradise, but a world with an atmosphere that was twice as dense as today's atmosphere, which in turn would cause the oxygen molecules, like I said earlier, to, you know, make it to areas in your body that didn't seem to get them. So, and yes, diet has caused men to age quicker. Even in today's lesser atmosphere, science has already confirmed that vegans live 1 to 2 decades longer than everybody else. But here's one thing that you can verify easily. And I've done this every time I go to a funeral of one of my loved ones, and I run into my siblings. And we happen to run into my wife's little sister, the youngest one in her family. All my siblings, all my brothers are younger than me. And most of my sisters are younger than me. Well, actually three. I had 6 sisters, 5 brothers in the family, 11 of us. And everybody looks older than me. And I only quit eating meat, I don't know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, something like that. And I'd quit drinking, you know, alcohol too, as well as smoking. But the real shocker is when my wife's little sister stepped up. She looks extremely frail, and she looks to be in her late 70s. And she's, what, how old is she, Fran? 48, 49, something like that? I don't know. She's in her late 40s, maybe, early, well, 52. Okay, well, still. And it has to do with the fact that she is, like all my siblings, heavy meat eater. She smokes. And she is an alcoholic, big time. I mean, even if they ate all the good foods and all this other stuff and they didn't smoke and they exercised a lot, they're going to age themselves real quickly just by picking up a bottle of wine or, you know, drinking beer or liquor. They're going to age real quick. I've lost friends to that, you know, because liquor does kill you quicker. than most things, because, I mean, the liver is the body's filter. You mess that thing up, you may as well, you know, get your house in order, because you ain't going to be around much longer. But anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.